Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing this rainy Wednesday?
Great. You know, it was raining last week, too.
Was it?
Yes.
Wow. I heard the lake is like up like a foot.
That's good. We need it. So quick little tidbit. Monday morning, driving to a meeting. I hear my car is making this funny noise. I'm thinking, what is that? It's like a squeak, squeak, squeak. Turn the radio down. I'm thinking, what? So I finally pull over, and I'm almost to my meeting at this point. Guess what?
What? Flat?
Cat locked in the trunk.
No way.
I was taking Christmas presents out and going in and out of the house, shut the trunk, go to my meeting, cat in the trunk.
Wow, that's a first, right?
Yeah, and hopefully a last. Definitely a last. But, you know, there's lots of things that women experience in the course of a day when you're, you know, trying to juggle the family, juggle the pets, juggle everything. And our first guest this morning sounds like she's really got it figured out. She's an inspiration to so many women in helping them juggle and helping inspire them in the boardroom. We are very privileged this morning to have the author of Praise for Skirts in the Boardroom on the show. She's been all over. She's been in Glamour, USA Today, ABC, Fox News, NBC, MTV, and now she's on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Marshawn Evans.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we are dying to know all about the book, what inspired you, where you came from. You're so young. So where do we start?
Well, young is certainly relative. I get called ma'am and miss now, so I certainly feel like the number of years are increasing. But Skirts in the Boardroom, A Woman's Survival Guide to Success in Business and Life, is a book of advice, really, for women in corporate America and also for business owners. I own two companies, a brand management firm called Edge3M Sports and Entertainment, and we primarily work with professional athletes in the NFL, the NBA, WNBA, and Major League Baseball. And I also own a performance strategy company called Me Unlimited, and it helps focus on diversity and also performance strategy for Fortune 500 companies. So through those two experiences as a business owner, as a woman in the world of professional sports and doing a lot of corporate seminars, I find that women are constantly dealing with this battle of style and substance. You know, is it okay to be feminine but also to be assertive and to be aggressive in the workplace? And so the book is designed to address all of those paradigms that women deal with every day.
So in your book, you talk about being the only female project leader to win a challenge during your appearance on The Apprentice. What did you learn about dealing with the opposite sex while you were trying to lead your female peers on the show?
Well, one of the things that Donald Trump did on The Apprentice is he broke us up into teams of men versus women. And I think he did that certainly for television and knowing that it would make for good ratings and good conflict. But the men's team somehow won every single task as an all-men's team except for one. And the one that the women's team won was the week that I was the project manager. And we put together an advertising campaign for Lamborghini. Now, you would think that the men would have an advantage because they grew up with pictures of Lamborghinis in their rooms as kids. And, you know, for me and a lot of the women, you know, I would have gotten a Lamborghini and a Ferrari mixed up.
Right.
So we didn't have an inherent advantage walking into the task. But what I learned is that when working with any group, whether it's women or otherwise, you have to create collective buy-in. And that probably was the only task where we really worked together as a team. Everybody had a collective stake. Everybody felt like they were a part of the outcome. And I think it put all differences aside. But what the experience also illuminated to me is that there are issues still that women have in the workplace in terms of getting along. And the men's team functioned like a well-oiled machine. So seeing that challenge and that adversity was one of the things that let me see that this was a book that was necessary. And Skirts actually stands for sisterhood, knowledge, integrity, respect, tenacity, and substance. And so the S for sisterhood to me is a business asset if we utilize it properly. The guys have the old boys club. It's time for us as well.
Do you have any practical advice that a person that's in a corporate setting right now and they're struggling to be heard, maybe in that meeting, that they can use to kind of get themselves noticed?
Yes. I think, first of all, it's important to understand that men and women have different communication styles and different leadership styles. Traditionally, men tend to be more competitive. Women tend to be more cooperative. Men tend to be more results-oriented. Women tend to be more relationship-oriented. Now, given that there's a male style of leadership in the business world, you would think that the competitive results oriented way would be the most effective, whether it's communication, whether it's in leadership. And I think that women actually have an advantage. When you're looking at the economic climate right now, where people are losing jobs, where customers are having to cut back, this is really the time where relationships are key. And so in terms of getting your voice heard in the work environment, building relationships within your workplace is key. And I think you can learn some from the guys as well in terms of being more results-oriented with your style of communication as well. But I think that there's actually a chapter in the book on communication. And you have to know what your own personal communication style is. You have to understand what your tendencies are so that you can overcome them. And then don't be afraid to speak up. Once you learn your style, learn where your weaknesses are, feel a little bit uncomfortable, stretch yourself, and speak up. Be the first one to speak up in the meeting instead of the last.
Now, a lot of guys especially have the tendency to kind of be a credit hog, and a lot of the women tend to feel uncomfortable in that way. And how do they deal with that situation where somebody, maybe they did all the work, and this guy's going to blow in here and take all the credit for it?
Well, one of the things that study shows is that women are traditionally adverse to conflict. Conflict seems to be something that...
Conflict or confrontation?
Both. Both. Because confrontation or conflict is something that tends to tear down relationships. And again, women are more relationship-oriented. And so speaking out against something usually is not in our innate... Now, I'm not like that. I'm a lawyer. I was raised around a bunch of guys. My brother started a club when I was a kid called BAMS, stood for Boys Against Marshawn. So I learned very early that you have to speak up, you have to be aggressive to get your way, and you have to be able to speak about your accomplishments. You know, you can't get on a show like The Apprentice where over a million people apply if you're not comfortable with talking about yourself, with your abilities and your talents. And you have to be able to do that in the workplace as well. I always talk very heavily about the importance of knowing your personal brand. You have to know what your brand is, and then you have to leverage it. You know, your talents, your abilities, your gifts and skills, your tags aren't anything if people don't understand them and they don't know what they are. And so women have to be more aggressive in talking about the things that they're involved with, and doing so in a way that creates an understanding of not just how they're different, but how they add value. My customers, my clients want us to stay in the game because we add value, not just because we're different.
In your book, you talked a little bit about the advancements of social media and women branding themselves and how they need to be careful with that. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. One of the great things about, you know, living in a Web 2.0 world is that we can network online, and it's cost-effective. As a small business owner, we often have difficulties with access to resources, with staffing, and with time. And the advances on the internet have made those things far more effective for small business owners. I utilize the web for hiring. There are some vendors that I have that I've never met in person that I've met through social networking sites. There's actually a site that I'm a spokesperson for called amightyriver.com, and it is a social networking site that the job board is powered by Monster, and it provides forums and communities for small business owners and also professionals to network. And the great thing about it, you know, we've got MySpace and Facebook and all of these fun sites. Mm-hmm. This is so career driven, and right now it's a great resource for people where there's access to six-figure jobs in the new presidential administration. And for people who have lost their jobs, there's resources for them on how to tailor their resume, how to put together a game plan. And so the online networking opportunities now are critical. If you're not online, you're really behind.
So you were Miss District of Columbia. You finished third runner-up in the Miss America competition, and you won both the talent and interview portions. It doesn't surprise me that you won the interview portion. How did participating in these beauty pageants help you as a business person and as a speaker?
Well, the one unique thing about the Miss America competition, it's really more scholarship and platform driven. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to speak on youth crime prevention and leadership development on a national level and became a national spokesperson for the Invest in Youth for a Safer Future campaign. Now, as a 21-year-old in Washington, D.C., that was tremendous in terms of the networking. Being able to be a spokesperson for a coalition of some of the largest nonprofit youth serving agencies in the world. And so when I went, and also just to be able to get the scholarship money, I received over $80,000 in scholarships.
Wow, that's great.
And so I was able to graduate from Georgetown 100% debt-free.
Wow.
And, you know, you have to have an entrepreneurial approach to your education, your career. You know, raising capital is just like raising money for school. You know, you have to go out and find a way to be effective with your time and with resources. And there is money out there. There's still money out there for small business owners. There's money out there for people who want to go back to school as well. So you have to be aggressive. And, you know, the Miss America pageant was one of the avenues that I used to go get that.
Do you have any thoughts about women entrepreneurs that there's a ton of women entrepreneurs right now? They're probably the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But there's not that many women entrepreneurs that have super successful $100 million companies in relationship to men. And, you know, I know men have been doing this longer, so that attributes to somewhat. But it seems that women kind of plateau at a lower level. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think that you have pointed out a very big issue, because the numbers show that women are increasing in terms of startups with small businesses. It also shows that we're increasing in education, higher education. Women are starting to outnumber men. And the compensation is actually becoming somewhat equal in corporate level compensation. But when you get into benefits and things of that nature, there's a plateau there as well. So what I think part of the challenge is the supportive network. I think that traditionally men have been not more aggressive in their approach to the growth of their businesses and the growth of their careers, but they've also had a support system. They've had resources to walk them into the door, and I think that's one of the things that's very powerful. I participated in a program here in Atlanta called Lead Atlanta. Phenomenal program. I encourage young motivated professionals to apply, because you connect with all the power players in Atlanta, and there is access to information that, you know, at 29 years old that I have, and that helps me in growing my business. That if I hadn't gone through that, didn't have that resource, don't have that network, I wouldn't grow as quickly. You know, we've been in operation for 2.5 years, and between year one and year two, we grew 450%. We represent athletes. We have 12 athletes under exclusive management. And we've been around for a very short period of time. We get first-round draft picks, and a lot of it is because of access to resources and a supportive network. A lot of those people in my network are not women, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to grow and expand and teach other women how to do that as well, because I think when we do that, we really, you know, we make a splash.
So networking, you think, is a critical component? They have to network up?
Network in every direction. You have to think outside of the box. I started here in Atlanta at a large law firm and started meeting professional athletes. And I was an employment lawyer dealing with discrimination cases and commercial litigation, companies suing each other. And I go to a lot of different things. And so you find new opportunities when you network out of your current circle. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you have to do. Sometimes you don't know what you'll be good at and what opportunities are around.
But I think that's a key learning point as well, is you were there as an employment attorney, and you didn't stay, like, you were still in the environment of other opportunities. And you didn't say, well, I'm just an employment attorney, I'm going to just stay in this little box. You were looking for opportunities outside of that.
Exactly. I think you have to, when I talk about knowing your brand, there's really four components to it. You have to, first of all, know what you're good at, what your strengths are, and what your talents are. But your brand is really a product of your reputation, what people know about you, and you have to broadcast that. People don't know unless you tell them. So when you go to an event, or when you're sitting on a plane, or wherever you are, you have to be able to speak intelligently about that. I was at on a flight on my way to Dallas home, and I missed my flight, and I'm sitting there at the airport, and I meet the sports agent. And he starts telling me about what he does, and he's a sports agent, not too hard to figure out. And when he asked me what I did, I actually didn't say just that I was an attorney. I said, I'm an attorney, but I used to own a communications consulting company working with people in public speaking. He said, you know, I could really use some help with my athletes. I'm like, I bet you could. And that's how I got in the door. It was based off of what I said. And so you create your reputation, you create your brand with how you speak. Then it's a component of your image, it's a component of your intellect, and it's also a component of your consistency. How you deliver on those other areas is what people will know you for. And it's almost like when you go to a fast food restaurant, you have a certain expectation on what you're going to get in terms of the quality of the food, the timeliness of the service. And if you go to a 5-star restaurant, you change your expectations, they raise. And so the question is, what do people expect when they meet you? What do they expect after they work with you? And that will determine the growth of your business and your career.
Gosh, we could talk to you all morning, but I know you have another interview you have to get off to, and we have some other guests to touch on as well. Thank you so much for being with us today. How can people find your book and learn more about you?
Well, thank you for having me. Skirts in the Boardroom is a website as well. You can go to skirtsintheboardroom.com and you can connect directly with me. You can also, I encourage women to visit the blog and to leave comments, to share their opinions with other women as well. And you can purchase the book online at Amazon.com, at Borders, Barnes & Nobles. You can go to a brick and mortar store wherever books are sold, and you should be able to find Skirts in the Boardroom.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And we know you've got to scoot off. We've got two other guests this morning. You know, when we talk about personal branding, Lee, Leslie Ann McAllister really does have it figured out when she's talking to companies, when she's talking to individuals. And there's one key component today when we talk about the internet that plays into that. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Lee Ann McAllister.
Nice to be back, Amy.
So, Lee Ann McAllister, you're referred to as the Google Girl. So you're very experienced when it comes to Google qualified AdWords. Tell us what that means.
Well, a lot of people think they understand how people search for them with their services. With that little box of Google and Yahoo, if I'm looking for what you do, there is literally countless different ways that I could type in to try to find you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people overthink it or underthink it. And that's what my challenge is trying to find what keywords actually lead to results for small businesses.
So in other words, if someone wants to pay for results, people want business, people want people calling them. Mm-hmm. How does this click work?
Well, in the old days, if you can imagine, if I needed a plumber, I would either go to the white pages and look up Bob's Plumbing, or I would go to the yellow pages and look under plumbing. Well, we don't really use our yellow pages anymore. People are shifting online to Google and Yahoo. So in that little box, again, in Google and Yahoo, I could type in plumbing. But more often, people are typing in what their problem is, so that instead of saying I need a plumber, which is a solution, I might be typing in leaky faucet or shower problems. And so what we look at is not which keywords actually lead to clicks, because you pay for every time someone visits your website, but instead we're focusing on which keywords actually lead to a phone call into your business, which is a revenue-generating opportunity. And that's what my company, Reach Local, focuses on.
Are there any success stories you might be able to tell us about, maybe a business that you were working with and the revenue they were generating before and how you helped them?
One company has been with me about a year, and they had been doing their own Google and Yahoo campaign on their own and said that they were getting about 20 to 30 calls a month, and that was just a guesstimation. Shared with them about our technology and how it is patented and is really unique out in the industry. It was developed by Rick Spitz, who is the former programming director for Apple Computers. And shared with them a little bit of our story. And he gave us a shot, gave me the same budget he had been working with on Google and Yahoo himself. And his first month with me, he got 217 phone calls. And our technology, again, keeps focusing on what is driving results. Mm-hmm. So it continues to get better month after month after month. And he's one of the many success stories I have, because nowadays he can focus on running his business. And so instead of trying to guess how much to bid for each keyword to see what leads to phone calls.
Now, what kind of budget does a company need in order to make this go?
That's a really...
What's the range? I don't want to get it.
Like, I mean, it really and truly varies.
$1 million?
No. Only. Less than that. It depends on a lot of things, how competitive the industry is, how wide a geographical area. Mm-hmm. I have customers that are going from probably about $700 a month to some that are well over $20,000 a month.
Right.
It's really focused on how much audience they're looking to get with visibility.
Is there some industries that this works better with than others?
There are very few that it doesn't work with. In reality, if you're trying to reach out to people that don't know you by name and you have a service that you have competition with, then it's something that I can absolutely help you with. Great story. I have a gentleman that does treadmill repair and small business. He has been getting amazing results. Nobody else is kind of doing what he does. And wow. So he is covering Atlanta and staying super busy. And it's neat to know that I can really impact a really, really small businessman, mm-hmm. as well as I can a very large company that had been paying another company a huge amount just to manage the campaign. And instead, it's completely automated and it still produces those results.
So Reach Local is just that. I mean, you're reaching local, but it is a nationwide company, correct?
We are actually an international company.
Okay. And how long have you been with Reach Local?
I've been with Reach Local over a year. We're about 5 years old. We have over 15,000 live clients, and we're growing month over month.
It's interesting, Leslie Ann, because you came highly recommended by one of our listeners who said that you have a great educational approach to letting people know about the internet without making them feel stupid. Because I think a lot of people, they feel like they should know. And you really do a great job of educating people on how to advertise without making them feel silly. When you work with a client, what are some of the questions you would ask, or what are some of the things our listeners should be asking themselves right now as to whether they need to reach out and contact you?
Well, first and foremost is that they'll need to at least have some sort of web presence, and it can be a simple one-pager or a very complicated website. And then it's trying to understand what parts of their business they really want to grow, because I can attract business, but if you're not making, you don't make much profit on it, or there's not a lifetime customer value that they don't come back, then that's not probably the best customer we want to target. So it takes some time to really understand what they're looking for and what geographical area. I have customers that say people drive an hour to see them. I'm like, well, great. Let's talk about where 90% of your core business comes from, because we want to focus on where your really revenue generating opportunities are.
Now, when you're doing this campaign for someone, do you kind of coach them, like maybe they should tweak their website, or maybe we should change the offer, or maybe you should have a higher price item so that this pays off a little better for you?
The number one secret about this, whether you use Google AdWords or not, is something very simple that a lot of studies have shown. If on your website, on the top of every single page of your website, in the upper right-hand corner, you have your phone number in big, bold print with what we call a call to action, which could be call now for monthly specials, call now for free quotes. Studies have shown you will get anywhere from a 60 to 180% higher conversion rate, meaning they will call you. We are creatures that will do what we're asked to do. And it's amazing to see the customer that I told you about that was managing his own campaign and let me do it. The results that he got was amazing when we made that minor change. And it's not, you don't need a super duper flashy website. Simplicity works.
Now, is that what you find, that a lot of times people kind of overthink their website? Like they're like, well, I need it to do all this little stuff, and it's got to be flash, and it's got to do all these tricks.
Simplicity is really the way to go nowadays. Especially when you're trying to connect with people that don't know who you are, you want to give them the basic facts, but you want to get them on the phone so you can share with them about you and get them. I mean, I tell my customers, they keep going into all this about what our philosophies are. Basic information, call us, because nobody is going to be able to present themselves better than you on the phone, than your website.
Leslie Ann, how can people call you?
Well, you can reach me directly at 770-906-2608, and I am happy to sit down with anyone if they're managing their own Google AdWords campaign or interested in getting their feet wet. I'd love to kind of share our story and teach them a little bit more about how to attract people that are looking for them right now.
And is Google the way to go, like not Yahoo AdWords or
We actually include Google, Yahoo, MSN, and AOL, and Ask, which is where 96 to 98% of people search online. And an interesting fact is that the keywords that will work on Google are not the same keywords that traditionally will work on Yahoo, because the Yahoo user tends to be a little bit older. And so older people tend to search a little bit differently. And so that's a kind of neat little fact to keep in mind.
And then what about like Facebook and those kind of Web 2.0 social networks? Do you help in that area as well if they want to run
a
campaign there?
That's part of what's called the content network, and that's absolutely another choice to go, and it's something that feeds out through the different search engines.
But you do that as well?
As part of the Google and Yahoo content networks, yes.
Wow.
Thank you for being our guest today. We hope our listeners will reach out to you and look at your website and find all the wonderful resources that you can share with them in 2009.
Thanks for having me here, Amy.
And helping them grow their business. Our next guest, gosh, when it comes to branding, when it comes to innovation, when it comes to music and technology, Al Burrus has it figured out. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Al Burrus.
Oh, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Al, you are from Chicago. You have an amazing music background and worked with a band, correct?
Yes, I currently work with the SOS band, but I've worked with the rest of development. I mean, just too many to name over the years.
What did you do working with them?
Actually, I was a front of house engineer, traveling with different bands, just mixing the sound. Best job in the world. Free concerts. Travel. Can't beat it.
And from a business perspective, tell us a little bit about your affiliation with Hello World.
I joined VM Direct, which is actually the company. Hello World is the product. I joined them about almost 2 years ago, 2 years in April coming up. And a friend told me about it, and I got involved with it, and it really meshed with what I was already doing. I've pretty much been in sound all of my life. And this is a video streaming product, or streaming video, whichever you prefer. But I fell in love with it. I felt like it was the future. I felt like it was what is coming. It's extremely powerful. Video email, live broadcast, mm-hmm. video blogging. I mean, basically anything having to do with video, plus a media vault, which allows you to take anything that's digitized and store it offsite, which is also an area that's growing in terms of people being able to store everything offsite. Virtualization. That's also something that's in the future. And I've always been a person who's always looked at the future and the possibility. So that was really what drew me to Hello World and VM Direct.
Who is your prospect? Who is your client? Who typically buys this product?
Believe it or not, that's the fun part, because it's almost everybody.
So are they individuals? Are they businesses?
Yes, businesses, individuals. Mm-hmm. We have our price point is from $10 a month to $2,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, $200 a month. So it really varies in terms of, you know, kids can use it, businesses can use it. Again, being able to use, I haven't typed an email in so long. The only time I typed to you, but that was about it. That's because I was in my
It looked like it was a stretch when you had to actually type something to me, because communicating on my BlackBerry, I couldn't see your video. But this is my one question for you, Al. Mm-hmm. I get your videos. I love your emails. And it is. There's something really personal about that. Mm-hmm. What do you do if you're like in your PJs? I do a lot of my work, and I always say I do my best work in my underwear. I guess I could wear a shirt and just show me from the top up.
Well, there you go. I work in my underwear. Yes, I do.
So is that really just you're not wearing anything from the waist down, are
you? I'll put this sweater on and I'll sit at my table and do my thing.
But so. it really does add a personal touch. I'll tell you that. I look forward to opening your emails because of that. And exactly. When you talk about branding from that perspective, yes. How do you find that it helps the business?
Well, I mean, first of all, communication is what 40-50% visual. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get that extra added. I mean, just like you said, when you get the email, you want to open it if right. it's visual. How many times do we get emails and we just, half of them we're just throwing away? Mm-hmm. Or what, 80%? I know I do 80% of them. But if I know that person is going to be sending me video, and what we found is that people would rather watch than read. I would rather talk than type.
Right.
So it all fits in with mm-hmm. making it more convenient. So for businesses, I really look at it and say, hey, you can your click through mm-hmm. would be a lot greater in terms mm-hmm. of when people know that you're going to be communicating with video.
Sure.
And you'll be able to communicate your message a lot stronger.
Now, I think this would also be perfect for, like, grandparents and parents.
Everybody.
Like, if their kid's away, then they can kind of see what they're up to.
Yes.
That's
yes.
interesting. Make Everybody. Sure they don't have any piercings or tattoos.
That's it. You know, they're in college. You're like, see what's
school,
going on.
If the school is – take a school, for instance. They're going to be having a our kids go to the same school.
Right.
They wind up having any kind of concert,
mm-hmm.
play, whatever. My whole – TV studio is in a bag. I
wow.
carry my laptop with my air card. I have my little camera, and it's a 5-year-old video camera, you mm-hmm. know, just a camcorder. And basically that's it. And I take that with the stand and set it up, and I can broadcast anything from anywhere in the world.
Wow.
In a bag.
And that's through your Hello World channel that you have?
Yeah, it is internet-based software.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually log in with your password and your digital ID, then you're up and running. Everything is there.
Link,
and I can do that from any computer.
Can we include the link on this podcast so people can click on the link and see a live sample of what Al is talking about?
If you give me a
sure.
URL
okay. yeah.
to point
because,
to.
Because the link definitely helped me understand a little bit more about how it works and
yeah.
how it can work for others. It's a more complex I guess.
Well, it's hard to communicate, I think, through audio than it
yeah.
is to see it.
Yeah,
if
it
you
is.
Just click a button, then you can kind of get it instantly.
I find when I'm talking to people that I try to do as little talking as possible. And
mm-hmm.
try
more show, less
yeah,
tell.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I'm doing it, if I'm going to do a presentation, I generally don't go and have a meeting. Generally, mm-hmm. what I do is have them log on at home.
Oh, so they see
and
it.
Then I'll
right.
just broadcast to them and make my presentation there, because I have JPEG files, which are kind of like PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but without the PowerPoint, they don't need it on their end. I don't need it on my end. So I just got JPEGs and I'm flashing those and I'm speaking and I've got links across the top for my business. And it's just an amazing, amazing product.
And then how has this surprised you when you got into this? Has it been growing as you expected?
It is somewhat ahead of its time. People are just getting used to 2.0, you know, and to tell them, hey, you can broadcast live from anywhere. And we had a show Wednesday night, guy from Australia joined in on the show. I mean, having that kind of power might be a little bit out of most people's imaginations, but it's definitely where things are going. And that's what excites me.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, people are, it is growing. Yes, it is. And that is the thing that I like about this particular, the economy is not really affecting me as much as other people because I'm in a growing
business.
Yeah, growing business. Yes. And it helps people during this time.
And then this is something for that. It's so affordable that it's one of those things that you might as well just do it just because it's so affordable.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it fits into most people's budget and what their positioning of themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. I think price point for me has been it's great. So that I can say, hey, we have a $10 account for your kids so that if they want to communicate with grandma. You know, I had one person that joined because their mother was 2 hours away and sick. Mm-hmm. And they were trying every week to make that trip back and forth. And so what they did was they got two accounts. And now mom can, you know, they can communicate on a regular basis. And even with the video blog section, what I actually am using that for is to go to the older members of the family. And I'm starting to actually videotape. Record them and stream them into the service where I can keep their
create like a history.
Exactly. You know, instead of parents, you know, how many people have had parents or people in their family die off and the history
just goes away.
I mean, like they weren't even there.
Right.
You know, 80 years of history just gone.
Right.
You know,
now, that's a real powerful use of this technology.
Definitely. I mean, there's so many different aspects to this that are just.
So you think families are faster to adopt this than businesses at this point?
Most of my work has been with businesses.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because not only do I have the aspect of dealing with the business side of this, but I also have the aspect of being able to offer derivative services, meaning that I can actually, now that I've got the service, the customer can have the service, but also I can come in and say, well, if you don't want to deal with the video recording and all that other kind of stuff,
then you could
can come in exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. So, I mean, so businesses, we do 30-second commercial spots. They can send out in a video email.
Mm-hmm.
We do 30-minute infomercials. So instead of having to take an infomercial and buy TV time, you take an infomercial, put it in a video email, boom, it's out the door.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
Oh, extremely powerful. A business has a sale.
Uh-huh.
Okay, instead of sending a flyer, they can actually send a video email from the particular manager. Hey, look, he's sitting at his desk.
Right.
You know,
like communicating. And
hey, we're having a sale. We're going to sell our French fries for instead of a dollar, they're like 5 cents. You know, come see me. It's just for Friday. It's, you know, it's Thursday night.
Huh.
He's blowing this out, you know.
That's
On Thursday night for a Friday night, Friday sale.
But they don't need, do they need any technology themselves? Is there a camera that?
Webcam and that's it.
That's it. Wow.
Lee, we're out of time. I hate to catch off, but we are really out of time. We've got other folks waiting to come in here for another show. We hope people will reach out and contact Al because this is definitely a powerful technology.
What's the website?
The website for that they can actually check out the product is www.T as in Tom, V as in Victor, the letter U, N as in Nancy, M-E. .com. TV for you and me.com.
There's a number 4 in the middle of that. TV.
For you and me. I'm sorry. Right. Yes. Yes. TV for you and me.com.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll give you my number also. It's 404-234-4301. That's Al Burrows.
But you want to send him an email so you can see the email he sends back.
Right.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
I loved it.
Happy holidays.